In the Huddle was created to give student athletes, parents and coaches an inside look at the journey through US college sport and all that comes with it, the demands, the excitement and the opportunities. Study and Play USA facilitates a comprehensive, customized approach for student athletes and families for their whole journey, both here during high school, right through to US college graduation. I'm Chris Bates, and we are very pleased in this episode to have world-renowned performance sports psychologist Dr. Anthony Ross here with us. Anthony is a highly regarded in his field for his work across developmental to elite sport, including many US college athletes. Former college athlete himself, Anthony shares, a passion with us of mental toughness training, which is highly valuable in preparation for life at college, but also in competition across any sport. So that's what we're going to break down today. Thank you for joining us today, Anthony.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Great to have you here. So look, just jump straight into it. I think, when I think of mental toughness, Anthony, I think of my favorite athletes, I guess, and how they managed to perform under pressure, I guess, time and time again. Think of Federer and Tiger Woods come to mind. And I'm sure you've probably seen the Michael Jordan documentary.
Oh, yes.
It's a cracker. I mean, to me, it shows an athlete with elite level mental toughness. So, look, I'm curious, if I was asked to define mental toughness, I think I might find it a little bit hard, but how would you define it? Like, what exactly is mental toughness?
Yeah, it's a good question. We hear it a lot, but it can be a bit hard to define. I generally see mental toughness as how well athletes take their physical and technical skills, even tactical knowledge, and then apply them on the sporting field in competition. So how well do they take the skills that we generally spend so much time and effort developing and then actually put them into play? So that can be a general one, and then specifically speaking, when athletes are competing, it's really how well can players continually commit to actions that increase the chance of success. So if it's a golfer, how many shots in a round can they finish the shot, simply saying yes, I committed to something helpful on that shot, a helpful process. If it's a tennis player, it's on each point. And even in continuous sports like rugby league, for example, or rugby union, if players can sort of split it up into different plays and continually keep checking in and going, okay, am I actually committing to something helpful? Did I do that on the last play? And then recommitting. That's how I generally think about mental toughness and communicate it around it.
Great, that's good. I mean, I guess yeah. So what you sort of said there, the concept covers all sports. It doesn't necessarily matter the sport. It's just applying those skill sets to the situation you're in, regardless of the sport.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. And so, I'm very curious. Like, where do you track your knowledge of this? I mean, does this come from the does this your passion for this and your knowledge come from your own experiences on, right back to when you were, the local tennis courts of Billawheeler in central Queensland plying your trade, or was it through your college experience as one of, Pepperdine University's best ever competitors? Or was it, on the courts of Wimbledon as a doubles player? Talk us through your origins of this passion and knowledge that you speak of.
I was definitely very competitive as a kid, and so I didn't take a specific, interest in it outside of just trying to do my best and do as well as I could. I would say a couple of things come to mind, a couple of times come to mind, which really pointed me in this direction of specifically focusing on helping athletes develop mental toughness. One was after my initial semester at Pepperdine in college. I didn't do very well my first semester, got a bit overwhelmed, probably got a bit carried away with college life and basically lost my way a little bit, and our coach left, or retired actually, and we got a new coach in. Long story short, he basically offered me a scholarship that I couldn't afford to stay at Pepperdine for the full year. So I had to make the decision to come home for a semester, which was the only way that I could stay at Pepperdine. And during that 6 months off, I started working with Michael Fox, who's a sports psych that you'd know. And he really, that I found that really helpful. And that's probably where it started. And I saw the benefits when I went back to Pepperdine. Like, I competed a lot better. I was much more successful, was able to get, you know, a great scholarship for the rest of my time at Pepperdine through my results after that. So I recognised its importance through that time. And then the second time I would say is when I was finishing playing tennis professionally, I started coaching straight away. And my first couple of players that I coached, Peter Clark, you'd remember Peter Clark.
Yeah.
And he was a pretty challenging player, probably not the mentally toughest guy. And so that was a real challenge as a coach. And what I found was that it didn't matter how well I could help him technically and even physically, like, we worked hard and he had a level of success, but eventually I realized that I wasn't skilled in actually coaching the mental parts of the game. You know, I could do it, I learned to do it pretty well myself, but I really wanted to get better at being able to help others compete well and be mentally tougher. And so then I decided to actually come back to Australia and finish my psych degree, which I had a minor in psychology from Pepperdine. So I came back, actually went and started doing some work for Michael Fox, who I mentioned before, decided to go down the psych route from there. And at start, I just wanted to improve my skills, but then I just found I loved it and ended up becoming a psych, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. I mean, I can vouch for the fact that, you know, I've witnessed firsthand. I mean, some of the students, athletes that I've seen you working with and the improvement in themselves and just their level of enjoyment, just knowing, I guess, giving them an understanding of how their brain works in a competitive situation is probably pretty empowering for a lot of kids. Just that first step of understanding, I think that's the biggest thing I've noticed through working with you myself with some student athletes. But that all makes sense. You know, with all those sort of years behind you now, look, you're getting older like me. We're very experienced.
Time flies.
It does when you're having fun. You know, you're working with a lot of athletes. You mentioned Peter Clark, who was a tennis professional. I know you've worked in other sports and elite athletes as well. But it's not all about athletes either. I mean, there are coaches that, you know, you coach coaches, I guess, on how to implement these strategies with their players and athletes, and also parents, right? I mean, their parents play a big role in athletic development as well in terms of the mental side of things. So can you talk a little bit more about that and sort of the broad spectrum of your work?
Yeah, no problems at all. So, I mean, basically, I guess I would say that there's four really key areas that can be helpful to develop mental toughness. And I tend to really have a focus on these four areas. So, as you say, whether it be working with an athlete or trying to help coaches to understand and apply mental toughness development or even for parents, the four main keys, I guess you'd call them, to developing mental toughness are really what I'd call purpose. So this is, it's really the key to motivation. So when we connect with not only our goals, like what we want to achieve, but also the reasons we play, and really our values, so what's important to us about competing and about trying to become the best we can be. So the connecting with purpose is that first one. Second one is what I call attentional control. So this is just the basics of learning to and practicing the skills of developing concentration. So we know how important concentration is, but it's something that we need to go out and actually practice, aiming and maintaining our attention, noticing when it wanders, noticing distractions and shifting back and so forth. And so that's a simple one for coaches to apply and so forth. The third one is what I call committed action. So that's just really being clear on the processes that we need to commit to increase the chance of success. And then once we know those things, it's trying to making sure we apply those things as we compete. So once again, if we talk about a golfer, it would be maybe it's committing to the target that we're trying to hit, or a cricketer, it might be as simple as watching the ball, a tennis player focusing on their game style and committing to their game style. So we want to basically, the more that athletes can focus on and really rate their performance on how well they simply commit to the processes that increase the chance of success, the better they'll do. And right. Then the fourth one's a really good one. That's it's a really important one, which is, in a way, it goes against certainly the advice I got when I was growing up. I call it emotional fitness. And so the idea here is, rather than trying to control emotions, athletes generally do better when they are more able to handle or respond better to all the difficult thoughts and feelings that show up as they compete. So, you know, rather than trying to achieve the zone or get these ideal performance states, the reality of competing is that we face lots of challenging, difficult emotions, like a flow of difficult emotions and difficult thoughts that come with competing. And so I would argue the most important skill for mental toughness is how well athletes can respond to all the difficult internal experiences that show up. Like you were talking about with Jordan, you know, the ability to compete under pressure when and in that documentary, I think it's great. For those who haven't seen it, I'd highly recommend it as well. I actually watched the last two episodes last night, and just showing the challenges, the emotional challenges, and the toll it takes to compete is something that needs to really be respected.
Yeah, and it's not just at the top level in sport. It doesn't matter what level you're playing, right? It's the same. A brain's a brain, right? And
exactly.
So I think just listening to you there took me back to my childhood playing tennis a little bit. I remember my mum used to say, just concentrate. And I think if I was, you know, what I was probably trying to say in response to that was I really don't know how.
Yeah.
Something, learning how to concentrate and the types of things we can do can really help. But yeah, no, that all makes sense. And I think that's very useful information for the listeners. But the other thing that stood out from what you just said was, I think when, again, growing up a few years ago now, you know, it was all about trying to remove pressure or prevent bad thoughts happening when you're competing. And as you've just talked about, it's not about trying to remove those. It's actually how you respond. So I think that's pretty powerful stuff. So look, you know, getting back onto the college sort of talk a little bit in America, I mean, I know that you've been sought out by some of the best colleges in America, you know, and the coaches to help consult to their teams as a group and then obviously some individuals within those teams. And of course you're working with some of our student athletes whilst they're preparing to go to college and also when they're undertaking, you know, their college journey over in America. What are some of those challenges that you find the most common athletes are facing in college or on the way to college, you know, and how do you work with them? And maybe, you know, as a third part of that question, is it any sort of success stories where you've seen, you know, improvements made?
I would say that just those four points that I just outlined, I mean, that the great thing about focusing on those key skills is that they are really relevant for all sorts of different situations. So we were just speaking about how it applies to athletes competing. But at the end of the day, that same process is what is helpful to see students do better. Or it's just basically relevant in all life circumstances. It's certainly something that I try to practice in my day-to-day life and working with people in the workplace or whatever it is, it's really relevant. So when it comes to the college journey, it's pretty interesting actually how I find that regardless of what I'm working on with a student athlete or, as you say, with kids who are looking to go to college and so forth, I tend to stick around these main core issues, and especially that fourth one, right? Like the thing with going to college, if we're talking about as it gets closer to coming to college, kids tend to start feeling more pressure naturally.
Yeah.
Results become more important. And so, therefore, a very common challenge there is that as the recruiting process starts to take place and the options are there, kids naturally feel more pressure. They're going to be more anxious about their results and so forth. And so that real key thing that we were talking about there is it's not about expecting that we're going to be able to somehow magically get rid of the pressures or the anxieties or the frustrations when they're maybe not competing as well as they want. It's really developing the skills that are going to help them respond better to those circumstances. At the end of the day, the circumstances are the ones that leads to more difficult internal experiences. So it's responding to those things. But once again, clarifying purpose and developing the ability to pay attention and focus on helpful targets while they're feeling more pressure or while they're feeling more anxiety and so forth. And then when kids get to college, I think it's just that whole new that experience. As I said, I certainly struggled my first semester in so many things. Like it's so busy. There's so many new experiences. You do have the pressure of as a tennis player. I actually was in the position where I was sort of in and out of the lineup. So I went there and I was six players play in the lineup, and I was sort of number six, number seven. So I knew I had pressure that I had to win, otherwise I was going to be out of the team and not get the chance to play. So I struggled with that. So the same regard, like certainly if I went back, and something I focus on with athletes I'm working with is trying to respond better to just those different circumstances around team selection. Often it's working with new coaches, right? The challenges around different communication styles and all that goes with it. And then balancing the academics with athletics. So you've got the travel, you know, like trying to travel and missing school, but still being expected to, perform in school. So it's a whole array of things that tends to lead to maybe more intense, difficult internal experiences around everything that goes with college, I guess. That we tend to spend a lot of time developing skills in. And how do we actually, the practicalities of responding better to frustrations, nerves, pressure, helplessness, and all that can show up a little bit more as the pressure builds going to college, and then certainly that transition to getting used to being in college and so forth. So, and in terms of my work, obviously I do quite a bit of work with tennis teams, and so and working in exactly the same way. So working a lot with coaches actually, and trying to help coaches teach mental toughness to their players. Most recently, I worked with North Carolina men's teams, actually Michael Jordan's old school. This year they were doing awesome. I think they've improved their singles win percentage about 25% this season on last year, and were they're runner-ups at the national indoors. I think they were ranked two when the season got cut short, so they were well placed to have a very good crack at the national championship. So unfortunately they missed out on that one, but I hear the seniors are going to be able to come back.
That's correct.
If they wish. So very happy to hear that, because they had a few awesome seniors who really deserve a chance to win the national championship, hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, for the listeners out there, we were just referring to the corona interruption, I guess, that put to college sports in around about March, and therefore some sports were in the middle of the season and didn't get to finish, which typically for tennis finishes in May. So that's great to hear that those guys are able to come back, and you know they're going to be the team to beat next year, especially hopefully with your help.
Yeah, I think that the plan will be to work with them again next year, which I'm looking forward to.
Fantastic. That's awesome. Look, changing just pace just a little bit, a change in direction, I think for the people listening, I think it's You know, obviously listening to you, it's very clear you're pretty impressive background, and I think that's the thing about working with sports psychologists for me is that you've obviously got the qualifications that are necessary. You understand the psychology of sport, but you have also lived it as an athlete. But I think, you know, touching on your own life in recent years, I've seen firsthand the impact obviously you've had on many athletes. But I've also been pretty well, you know, my family and myself have been very inspired by your own, I guess, show of mental toughness and courage in recent years, overcoming a crippling illness, you know, basically in the prime of your life. You know, if you can just share, if you will, just a couple of minutes of you know, what happened to you and how you're able to get through it.
Yeah, no, must have been late 2015. I'd actually been in the US working with a couple of college teams at Virginia Tech, and I'd done a lot of running actually in the forests of Blacksburg, where Virginia Tech is, and I likely got infected with bitten by a tick over there, and I was then it was late that year, and I was actually the first thing I remember I was running with my now wife, and usually, you know, I run nice and slowly at her pace, but this day I couldn't even keep up with her, which she found really funny.
I'll tell her you said that.
Yes. A few days later, I basically just got out of bed and couldn't walk across the room. And long story short, in the end, I found that I had an illness which Stanford researchers are calling the metabolic trap, which is basically a metabolic failure where your body doesn't metabolize food and you go into a starvation effect, and then that leads to all sorts of very, very bad results in your body. Yeah. I had like muscle atrophy. So the main things for me is I became so weak that I couldn't stand. I couldn't talk for an extended period. My diaphragm was so weak I couldn't talk. And
but that was over a year, wasn't it, Anthony?
Yeah. So for probably 18 months, I was literally living in a one or 2 meter radius of my bed and not able to talk, other to communicate only by text. And so it was pretty brutal. I couldn't stand. My blood lost the ability to pump against gravity, so I basically had to be lying the whole time as well. I couldn't even sit up, and all sorts of other things that were pretty brutal. So I think I think I'm very, very lucky to have my past experiences, which were incredibly helpful to get through that time. Even my tennis experiences of the things I learned through competing and playing tennis, and that general skill, I guess, of just working at something and trying to get a little bit better day by day. Like, that's something I always kept in mind when I was at my worst. And then through my specific, like, psychology training, I guess, and the things I work on with others, I just use all the time, like, lots of, like, mindfulness and meditations and visualization. So, like, visualizing myself being able to walk again and the things that we're talking about, because the emotional side of my illness was so tough, like the dealing with and responding as well as possible to what was, you know, incredibly difficult emotions to do with the illness was something that was really helpful as well. So I think, yeah, it is definitely an example for me, and it's made me, I guess, more passionate with the idea of and for families out there, just the general sense of developing these skills. It's so relevant for obviously the college journey, but it's so important for us all in terms of our lives to develop mental skills that are going to be helpful to navigate to life challenges along the way. So certainly something that really hit home for me during that time.
And witnessing it as obviously a friend, it's very, very difficult as well, because it was a bit of a helpless situation for everyone, including yourself and everyone around. So, look, very, 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 very powerful story, and I think an unbelievable inspiration to a lot of people. So, look, it's fantastic to have you back, Anthony, I guess.
Yes,
and on your feet, and I think there's a lot of people who can benefit from your knowledge and passion. So, look, and a baby on the way now. So that's wonderful news for you guys, and really happy for you. And you know, life's looking pretty good right now for you. So that's really, I appreciate you sharing that. That's obviously fairly raw story for you. So I appreciate you sharing that with the listeners. But Anthony, I won't keep you much longer. But I do want to just talk quickly about a 28-day mental fitness challenge that you are going to be providing very, very shortly for Study and Play USA listeners. Look, designed for athletes thinking about going to college and athletes already in college. Just helping them focus on skills that can help them perform at their best, I guess. So we think it's a brilliant initiative. Are you happy to just go into a little bit more detail, Anthony, about what's involved?
Yeah, so it's the general structure of the program is what we do is we just release daily challenges, so daily activities around a few different themes, I guess you'd call them. So as I just talked about, so we have attention strengthening activities, we do visualizations, we practice that idea of committed action, so just very simple activities where we're trying to develop the actual skills of how do we get better at being able to commit to helpful processes, connecting with purpose. So that other idea that we talked about, doing different reflections and so forth to help us connect with the purpose and the reason for competing. And then we've got some fun, different, more competitive activities that we do throughout the 28 days as well. So in combination, it's really the different ways that we can develop the core skills, off the playing field or off the court or off the course, whatever it may be. But also, hopefully the participants will be able to take the ideas and then transfer them into what they're doing, on the playing field as well.
Fantastic. No, looking forward to it. I might have a crack at that myself.
We'll be tracking you.
No, I'll be tracking
you to see how you're going.
I better be at my best. But I think, we've all got a bit of extra spare time at the moment with this coronavirus situation, so there's no real excuse for me not to do that. So you can keep track of me. That'd be great. Look, Anthony, I know you've put on hold a session with a young athlete to be with us in this episode today, so I really appreciate your time. And I'm sure listeners got a lot out of that and can continue to get more out of that moving forward as we give you some more information about that, the mental fitness challenge and other activities that are coming up that you can take part in. So thanks everyone listening at home. As always, if you've got questions about the pathway or mental toughness in general, get in touch with us. You can go to our website and go to www.studyandplayusa.com.au. If you've got questions for Anthony, you can ask through there as well. But thanks again, Anthony. Appreciate your time. And I look forward to chatting to you next time.
Cheers, Chris. No worries. Enjoyed it.